can you hear me? What's your name?
Michael Moy.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis will now chair your hearing. Just hold on for a moment, sir.
Okay.
Sir, just give us 1 second after our victim's representatives coming into the room right now. Before we get started, because I have two different sign-in sheets, are there supporters in the room today?
Yes.
There are supporters for Mr. Melenik?
No, victims are supporters.
No, I meant that all of the individuals attending today are victims' representatives?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
I just want to make sure, because it looks like that there's both sides here. I want to be clear on that. And I'll get started here. Sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, sir. Michael Moy, 04898.
Thank you. Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412A parole hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I'd like to introduce you to the members conducting the board with you today, or conducting the hearing with you today, pardon me. They are in the room, beginning with me because I'm the individual sitting closest on the video conference screen. My name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. After me is Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. After him is Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and on the opposite side of the bench is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. I'll begin the hearing with a summary. Mr. Melenik, ADC number 048898, is 56 years old. He was certified eligible by the Arizona Department of Corrections for 31412A regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. The crime of murder in the first degree occurred on or about June 1st, 1983. He was approximately 21 years old at the time of the offense. He pled guilty on November 9, 1983 and was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison on December 7, 1983. He's been parole eligible since June 4, 2008. Does everything sound correct so far, Mr. Melenik?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure. Mr. Melenik had two prior arrests. I didn't say convictions, but prior arrests for marijuana possession and trespassing. The crime in question did represent a serious escalation in violent behavior. I'll read a summary of the offense in question. On June 1st, 1983, Michael Bennett, Mr. Melenik's victim, had been at the Deer Valley Cycle Park. He was loading an all-terrain vehicle into his truck when he was approached by Mr. Melenik. Mr. Melenik told the victim a false story of having wrecked his own motorcycle and asked Mr. Bennett for a ride back to his own vehicle. Mr. Bennett agreed to give Mr. Melenik a ride, and when they were in Mr. Bennett's truck, Mr. Melenik pointed a gun at him. In Mr. Melenik's own words, Mr. Bennett was very nice, cooperated, no problem, was more than glad to help Mr. Melenik out. Mr. Bennett asked the inmate about his planned destination. He said he would drive Mr. Melenik anywhere he wanted. Pardon me. Mr. Bennett said he would drive Mr. Melenik anywhere he wanted. Mr. Melenik forced the victim to drive to Sandwash in a deserted area and get out of the truck. He then ordered Mr. Bennett to take off his boots and shirt and bend down near some bushes in the wash. At that point, Mr. Melenik began to tie Mr. Bennett's hands behind his back when, according to Mr. Melenik, his gun went off. This startled the victim, who jumped up, and when he did, Mr. Melenik fired at Mr. Bennett twice, killing him, and that's the short version of the offense. According to Mr. Melenik's institutional progress report, he's had a significant amount of programming in ADC through 2008. He has a release plan, which includes living with family in Phoenix and pursuing trade school. He did note that he has no need for counseling. He has had moderate discipline in ADC from 1984 to 2017, with his last major on February 8th, 2017 for disrupting count. This appears to be his 19th hearing before the board. He has letters of support in his parole packet, but also numerous letters from victims' representatives opposing his parole. We also have a January 24, 2017 letter from Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing parole. Mr. Maloney, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us in your words about the offense that resulted in your incarceration? Thank you, sir.
Yes, that particular offense was my early nature for seeking pecuniary gain, money income, and to support my garage shop, building trucks, and using selling trucks to pay for my rent where I lived. So it was all for pecuniary gain. I was unemployed at the time. So the crime resulted in actions of desperation to recoup my loss from unemployment.
Thank you, Ms. Malenik. I work to show respect to everyone who appears before this board, but I have a very direct question, and and that is, has your story stayed consistent from the initial offense to you before this board now? Because the version that was written in summary to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, and I believe consistent with the pre-sentencing report, is that the gun just went off. It's been a long time. You've been in the correction system for many years. Is that still your version of the story?
Well, it was caught and loaded, ready to fire. It was armed. And it was a very tense situation, very nervous, nerve-wracking like, and very sporadic. And it was probably definitely my nerves that made it go off to begin with. But then, after this short scumble, I'll put it back down and execute it for a little.
And again, I'll ask you, is that your version of the story since the very beginning?
No. All the police reports had probably very variety of stories to them. Back then, about 35 years ago, it was all just all twisted up.
So, how are you saying it happened now, with all due respect, because you just mentioned a scuffle, but can you explain to me in your words how the murder occurred?
Well, I was there with the intent to rob the fellow, and definitely a warrant, and I shot the gun outside the truck, and right in front of him, but then it got to the point where I actually shoot him.
Okay, sir. You have been incarcerated since 1983, so from your beginning in the Department of Corrections till now, how do you think you have changed?
I'm definitely matured on internal, intellectual level, psychological level, emotional level, in the sense of I have no outrageous, angry spouts of bursts of anger. Very much self-control of my thoughts and actions. No tendency toward violence, and actually have the ability to identify irrational thinking right now immediately to see any form of consequences of my actions hereforth. So I'm very much aware of irrational thinking, analytical thinking towards greedy desires and deceptive lying desires that plagues all of us in terms of materialism and the so-called attachment to money.
Sir, if I'm not mistaken, you received major disciplinary infractions in 2015 and 2016 for disorderly conduct. So can you explain those incidents to the board?
Yeah, living in the 30-man to 40-man dormitories, living with all the racial individuals you can think of, and at a particular time, they had all these black individuals around him, and they were all, extremely immoral, so to say, with their thoughts, their actions, and their bodies towards me and others around them. And I had nothing to do with homosexual activity. So for me to get moved, I relied on security to move me by simply being out of place at my house, in the dormitory, but not in my bed during counts, so they can, you're out of place, we're going to roll you up. Okay, fine, thank you very much. So I get away from all the black homosexual perverts right there.
It looks like that you sought programming in the Department of Corrections, and I want to make sure I'm correct on this, but is the last programming you received as far back as 2008, or have you done anything recently?
Since I finished 74 programs through psychology, vocational education, and all that, I'm very well prepared in reference to relying as an ex-offender on all the state resources. I have all the information and packets, therefore relying on and getting myself resituated, my driver's license over again, and to learn to use state resources to support myself, level of income, and to help support paying for my vocational retraining. There's all kinds of resources to DES to support my training. Retraining, get recertified as a welder and machinist, and therefore be back in employment with the industry. And so, in the meantime, I'm pro self-sufficient studies and my own vocational training on engineering, mechanical engineering, and building and designing engines and sand rails in the off-road industry, which is a new passion of mine. And building and designing geometrical long travel suspensions, understanding all the physics and geometry behind that. So I study all that in my own books. I buy my own books, and I listen to those books in my pro packet that I've studied on in the past. Good 8 years now since my last DOC programming. Even my counselor stated in my overall view of programming, it states there in writing, there's no more need for programming, period. I've done and completed everything under the sun. I've multiple times repeated the same courses over and over, quite a few times, on all the basic 101 psychology stuff. And so I'm pretty much self-taught in reference to my own desires, in reference to building and fabricating as a machinist, welder, fabricator, and then in the off-road industry for myself and for our companies.
So when you make reference to the 74 self-packets, that's what was written down in your release plans, what exactly is a self-packet?
It's my very first pro packet I sent to you folks 11 years ago. It's there in storage with Mr. The other chairman. No, what's his name? He had it all the time. It's all in there. All my DOC programming in there. All my AIMS file programming. Everything off the AIMS computer was all printed out in there.
But the reason I'm asking is we have a large flow packet, and there's reference to the programming you've received up through 2008. I don't have anything in this file regarding further education, and it sounds like, have you taken, like, online classes, or what sort of additional education have you pursued? I know you mentioned the subjects, but, I mean, how have you done that, just by reading books, or?
Oh, no, okay, prior to all, while I was self-learning and self-teaching, I've taken and fulfilled all the vocational class trainings by BES and Pioneer College out there at Casa Grande in Florence, in reference to in-house, in-classroom training and plumbing, masonry, concrete finishing, welding, AC repair, all the classes that they taught there, you know, on the unit, vocational training. I finished all those towards a basic AA degree. All it is, a basic AA degree with all that. But then the DOC also offered psychology training in dealing with how to deal with criminal thoughts, criminal behaviors, in addressing all my crime issues, and what makes people criminals, and how to overcome and override all those through psychology training with all the psychologist doctors there for about 15 years over at East Shitter Florence. And all that's in my full packet with certificates, and all the PhD doctors, you know, the instructors who signed everything, verified everything. It's all legit DOC programming.
I'm certainly not doubting you. I'm just asking what you meant by that further education, because, again, what I have is the programming that's documented by ADC. Another question I have is, in your distant past, it looked like that you may have had some issues as a juvenile. Did you have some, and I'm going to be very direct here, but did you have an attempted suicide incident when you were young?
Oh, that was back when I was 14 years old. I ran away from home, and I just finished eighth grade school back then, 1974, 1975, 76. So I ran away from home. My neighbor had a gun. I broke into his house, grabbed the gun, and went on a hiking spree out to Phoenix, ended up in Cortez High School Park, and we were running there with a gun, and it was like the so-called suicide mission in reference towards, I didn't want to go to high school in reference, I didn't know what to do, didn't know what career to choose. So my fear of going to high school was outrageously just demented. So I ran away from that. And I had no friends, no peers, no counseling, no older peers to look towards. You want to go to high school, you want to go to college. I had none of that. I had no comprehension of what all that was for. So I ran away from all that. So when somebody sees me carrying that gun across the Cortez High School Park over in Phoenix, of course the cops came and they shot in the place and they arrested me right there.
Okay, so my last question is, did you receive any behavioral health treatment inside the Department of Corrections, or?
For that or for my crime right now?
No, for behavioral issues. Did you have any?
Yeah, like anger management, self-help therapies, all these different weird titles in my APES file are all there printed out. And
Any pharmaceutical therapy?
Medicine treatment? Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Okay, in the beginning, in the county jail, they had me on, like, Thorazine while I was facing my pretrial and pre-sentencing. Thorazine, dealing with the depression of being locked up and with all the other killers, you know, living in that environment with all these other 4 or 5 time losers who are heavily institutionalized and they're trying to drill me how to do time and do my life sentence and everything. So I was on Thorazine for that. And going to all my court hearings, all littered up in reference to being really mellow so I can deal with everything, all this anxiety. But now after I got locked up, got into so-called general population instead of doing my time, I was on Sinequan, how to deal with the peer pressures of being in a maximum custody level in the beginning, back in the early 80s, and living with all these other killers and lifers, been in there forever, and learning from them and how to cope with them and all their games they play and all their, you know, they threw a shank on my bed to test me out and see what I would do with it. I just took the shank, broke it, and threw it away. You know, that was my gesture, you know, dealing with them, the skinheads and the Aryan Brotherhood, which I had nothing to do with. I took my stand against them by being neutral and self-sovereign. So to deal with all that, I was on Sinequan, that kind of a pressure, be it without violence, and even though I went through a couple of riots, but I never participated in those riots when they burned the place down back then in the early 80s. And so I never heard of nobody during those riots, and I took a stand for myself to be neutral and self-sovereign. No one could push me around, no one could rule me, and therefore I don't give in to going into violence with anybody, with any race. No fighting in my record, no violence. And of course I can self-defense myself, that's it. But I would neutralize the fight anytime I get hit.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you before we receive a testimony from victims' representatives, but fellow board members. Okay, I have no questions from fellow board members. I'm going to open up the podium to victims' representatives. Would anyone like to speak first? And when you get to the microphone, if you can state your name, sir.
My name is Glenn Conlon. I'm here to oppose any release of Melanie. I'd like you to give a picture.
Thank you. Just so long as I understand it, we'll put it in the file.
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
That's to remind the board of who we actually murdered for a three-wheeler. Every time we come to this hearing, I've been to every one. We hear a different story from Michael Melanie. I've heard out of him say that he has no violence in his record, but yet he murdered. He just didn't just murder, he did it execution style. If you read the coroner's report, it shows that he was shot twice in the back of the head. He was tied up with baling wire. He talks about in his pre-sentencing report how he jumped back and he shot two rounds into the body. He shows no remorse then or even now. He talks about in previous hearings about grand auto theft, kidnapping, stealing, acquiring a handgun for the sake of scare tactics on his next victim, and he also talked about a stolen rifle. Every time we come to these hearings, we hear a different story from him. To release him would be a grave mistake. You already have a copy of the Maricopa County Attorney's Office from last year. They also oppose any release from him. So that's why my wife and I are here today, is to oppose any release from him. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to speak from your panel?
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Wallace. I'm with Girls No Voice for Crime Victims. I'm here on my own today, not with my organization. I used to work in victim services right across the hall at the time, and that's where I met this family, and Glenn and the Bennetts. And so I have followed this case along. I was surprised to hear it's been 19 hearings. It's been a lot of hearings that I've come to. I carry this picture of Michael Bennett with me everywhere I go, and I know you have a copy, but if anybody else would like a copy also, may I approach?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
So, need another one. Okay. There you go.
I carried this picture with me since I left here, and it's always just been in my file. So when I hear this name and this case come up, I go to this picture every single time. Mrs. Bennett, Michael's mother, is not able to be here today, but she asked me to read a letter on her behalf. So that is my reasoning for being here today. Dear board members, I am Eva Bennett, mother of the victim, Michael Wayne Bennett. The inmate received a life sentence for first-degree murder and no possibility of parole until after serving 25 years. Since 2008, we have attended many hearings every 6 months. I have heard a variety of stories and excuses for the murderer of our 21-year-old son, Mike, who just went to Deer Valley Cycle Park for a short ride after work on his new ATV and planned to be back home in an hour. He did not return, and we never saw him again due to this inmate's vicious abduction at gunpoint, robbery, and murder execution style. Our son was missing for 6 days in the desert while continuous searches were conducted by co-workers, family, friends, the Phoenix Police, and the Sheriff's Department. We also know this was not the inmate's first robbery or crime. Due to the severity of his crime and depriving us of our son by greed, I do not believe the inmate should be ever be paroled in any form and serve out the rest of his life sentence. Therefore, I respectfully request the board deny any form of parole. Sincerely, Eva Bennett.
Thank you. I'm sorry, is that everything?
That's, I think so, yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Melnick, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you'd like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already shared with us in the interest of time management. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel you need to share?
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you very much for those letters, and everything is stated in those letters by the folks reading those letters. They're very true and very factual. I agree, and I agree to all that. It's very true, and I do agree. I did commit executional style murder. Yes, I did. And please, with so many words, I'm sorry for what I did, and of course, we do have faith and hope about life after death, that the dead do can live on either in heaven or somewhere else in terms of what they believe. And the belief system should heal us, give us faith concerning the hope of the resurrection for our loved ones who do pass away. They have a second chance at life. And for those of us who live in this life, I'm sorry, and hopefully, yeah, I don't expect to be forgiven, but I can be forgiven only through Lord Jesus Christ shed blood on the torture stake to forgive us of our sins, shortcomings, and past acts of evilness against any other human. They can be forgiven through the faith in Christ Jesus' shed blood on the torture stake for forgiveness of our sins. So please forgive me. And I don't deserve it, but by law and by the Christian law of the New Testament, the law covenant of the Christ for a kingdom, I can be forgiven. And so can you and all of us, simple, mortal human beings. We all need perfection, spiritual perfection. We all need healing. We all need forgiveness and to move on. Yes, I did agree to life sentence, to complete for life, to stay here for life. I agree to that. But if I am to find out, and if there's a chance, it'd be wonderful. I can go home and be with my parents, my family, and of course, I'll be watching him slowly pass away, naturally, due to the laws of sin and death we're all born into. We will die sooner or later. I would like to watch them when they die peacefully or in their state of agony, suffering, and whatnot. I'd like to be there. Have the privilege to see them go pass away. My folks, my parents, my siblings, my aunts and uncles, they'll soon pass away, including myself. We'll all pass away. And it's just a little aspect of the privilege of our life. It's all this is. Okay, as I was saying, it's a privilege, and actions speak louder than words. Everything that we spoke today are nothing more than in the English language of words. These words do have meaning, both negatively and positively, but actions speak louder than words. And my actions throughout my incarcerations helps to support my anti-violence, anti-crime, greedy nature as I was as a kid, and mishandling and the abuse of firearm power, and dealing with ignorance, childhood ignorance, and adulthood, and being a punk rock, heavy metal kid back then, firstborn child of the system of things, like a goat or a demonic kid, the children of the devil, how you like to call it, how the Bible describes it, how all of us are. In this whole criminal system of things of inmates, we're all full of people like just like me to deal with the same issues, seeking forgiveness, seeking to move on, seeking a second chance, seeking absolute discharge, seeking a letter of the law that I could be have the privilege to be entitled to, as all this is a simple privilege. And yeah, so thank you very much for your time and efforts. I'm so sorry for everybody who has to come to these hearings and go through all this grief and read the testimonies of the pros and cons of what I said, what I didn't say, lies upon lies. Yes, sure. I'm sinful nature back then and still am today. But still, only through the grace of Christ's ransom sacrifice can we be forgiven, can you be forgiven, all of us humans. And thank you very much for the clemency board, you judges, the powers you have, and in your own personal lives, you're all sinners, but yet you have your own faith to deal with your own imperfections, and who gets to judge you? Again, the letter of the law or the law of the covenant of the Christ. All of us, we're in that judgment seat right now, standing before the throne. So, thank you for your time and efforts, and I'm so sorry in the sense of I try to be a little bit remorseful here, try to be, but again, only actions can speak louder than words. My history proves it in terms of my incarceration history of 35 years of being non-violent, non-criminal, and no ounce of it, whatever, whatsoever, dealing with my crime. This has not been repeated. And to this ability and all of the staff incarceration abilities and all the doctors, psychologists here, and all the chief security staff, they do their jobs, try to rehabilitate us, rehabilitate me to the best of their ability and to the best of my ability to give forth my earnest effort. And yet I'm still alive, I'm still breathing. And
I'm going to ask you to sum it up.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's it, basically, you know. There it is, all up for the record. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Roenick, the board will be going into discussion now under the open meeting laws of Arizona. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I'll begin the discussion, and I think I'd like to keep it brief, but certainly open to the dialogue amongst my colleagues. In simple terms, based on the serious and violent nature of this offense and disciplinary infractions that have continued through 2017, although I heard his explanation, I am not finding Mr. Melenik a suitable candidate for supervised release. Again, I'll keep it brief, and that's where I'll begin the discussion.
I agree.
Yes, sir.
For the record, I think I appreciate his philosophy or his attitude of being neutral with regards to getting involved in prison politics. I think that's very wise of him to do. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. And I think it's always important, as told the board, when people catch those things, and that is a very important point. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Any further comments from colleagues? Okay, well then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is regarding Mr. Michael Linick, ADC number 048898. Our motion is to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, and a reminder that we have no mechanism for a set-off based on the year of the conviction, and that is my motion.
Seconded
by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Neal. Again, we have no set-off option. I will say, for the record, that's under the state of the laws of the state of Arizona, and we just have no flexibility in that matter. The release type denied is, again, regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. And my reasons are as follows, and I am certainly open to the input. Again, my colleagues, serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury. We have no probation or parole. We have a prior criminal history. Poor institutional behavior through 2017. Recent disciplinary infractions through 2017. I recognize what he stated in his institutional progress report, but there is no family or community support system for this hearing. Would you? Does that sound appropriate?
No, not for this hearing.
No. Okay. Anything else that fellow board members wish to add? Okay, Mr. Malenik, the board has voted, and again, that was to deny regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. Did you hear our reasons?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Well, this is going to bring the hearing to a close. Thank you for appearing before the board today. You'll be certified eligible to appear again before this board sometime in the next 6 months. Again, based on your time of conviction, you're eligible for the 6-month cycle. And this ends our hearing.